The Gemara here in Chagiga and Heyam and Beis tells us, Tanur Rabbanan Shlosha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Baruch, over three people HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries Aleihem B'chol Yom, every single day. Al She'evsher La'asok B'Torah Ve'inu Osek, a person who's able to learn Torah and does not learn Torah, Al She'evsher La'asok B'Torah Ve'osek, one who is unable to learn Torah and chooses to learn Torah, Ve'al Parnes HaMesgala Tzibur, and on a person who takes care of the tzibur, takes care of the community, but it has a sense of haughtiness. The Mefarshim have difficulty discussing a number of the points here, but specifically the second category of one who is Eavshar La'asok B'Torah V'Oseg, one who is unable to learn Torah, and nevertheless chooses to learn Torah. We're going to now offer three or four different approaches to explain this interesting Gemara. The Maharsha asks why Hashem would cry over someone who's unable to learn Torah, who's now learning Torah. On the contrary, Hashem should rejoice over such a person who pushes themselves and puts themselves in a situation to learn, or perhaps naturally the person should not be learning. Therefore, the Maharsha explains that va'osek here does not mean osek b'Torah. Rather, we're talking about a person who's spending his time involved in other things instead of trying to learn Torah. This is the opposite of the Pashut Pshat, which seems to be that the person who's unable to learn Torah is being osek b'Torah. Meaning, according to the Maharsha, the Gemara says, V'yevshar la'asok b'Torah v'osek, meaning a person who is involving themselves in other things instead of trying to learn Torah when it might not be his strongest suit. The Maharal in the Nesiv HaTorah in Perek Dalet offers a very unique explanation to our Gemara, and he begins by explaining what it means that Hashem cries. What does it mean Hashem is bocha? Hashem doesn't cry. Hashem doesn't cry because there's no chisar and there's never anything lacking in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rather, any single time we see something described in Chazal or the Torah that seems to describe Hashem lacking is rather our perception that Hashem is sad. We have a dual relationship with Hashem. There's a Kadosh Baruch Hu Ba'atzma, Hashem himself in his reality, and on the other side, the way we see Hashem. We can never understand Hashem Ba'atzmuso in his essence, but we can understand the way that Hashem displays himself when we perceive Hashem in this world. So for example, the Tshuvas HaRashba says that this is why all brachos are nochach and nistar, where we speak directly to Hashem, and also about Hashem at the same time within the bracha. We talk atah to Hashem, and then we also speak about Hashem. This shows the dual aspect of relationship with Hashem as well. See Rav Hutner in the Pachad Yitzchak and Shabbos Maimer Dalet, he elaborates on this as well. And in this instance, a sign of atzvos, a sign of sadness, a sign of bechiah from Hashem, means that things are not right in the world as the way they should be. When Hashem has a sense of bechiah, it means there's something wrong with the seder, the order of the way the world should be conducting itself. The Maharal explains that the second category in the Gemara in Chayya is the one who is osek, eavshar la'asok b'Torah v'osek. This is referring to someone who must take care of his parnasa, must take care of his livelihood, and yet he is pulling through and learning Torah when it's difficult for him. It's eavshar, he shouldn't really have time, it should not be natural for him to learn Torah, but nevertheless, he pushes through and makes the time for learning. He doesn't have the ability at this time in his life situation to make time to learn, and he makes time anywhere and any way. So then why is Hashem crying? Because bechia, crying, occurs when there is an absence of something that is close to you. Something is missing when it should be there. Therefore, when a person dies, Rahman al-Islam, we cry because something that is close to us has been taken away. Crying is a form of loss. It's a deterioration of the body. The tears are leaving the body. Something is moving away from the physical aspect of the body. And therefore, we respond to loss in this world by also shedding and having loss in our own body as well. And this is why, for example, Moshe cried when writing the end of the Torah about his death, because this was the beginning of his death. Because it was Haschalas Silak HaGuf. At the moment Moshe realized he would not be in this world, he cried. Because that moment, it was his time when he began to not be in this world. It was the beginning of the process of his not existing in this world anymore. There is nothing closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than Torah. And when the Torah is not being learnt, it is taking something away from Hashem Kaviyachal. Rabbi Hartman, in his notes here to the Nesiv HaTorah, cites Rav Hutner in his Akdama to the Pachad Yitzchak and Shavuos. Rav Hutner explains that when pain occurs, it is always there, and it never goes away. A person experiences something painful, it never is deleted from the person's body and the person's essence. Simcha does not delete pain, says Rav Hutner. Rather, tsar, pain, gave birth to any simcha that follows. From a painful experience, it allows a person to experience rejoicing. Therefore, when a person cries from joy, it is really stemming from the original tsar. When a person sheds tears over a happy moment, it's because of the potential possibility of pain. Something that could have gone wrong, something that could have had a problem, but now it did not occur. And it stemmed from that original moment of lacking. Therefore, when a Kadosh Baruch Hu cries about someone who shouldn't be learning Torah, based on his life circumstances, and he's now learning Torah, then this Torah is something that is coming from a place of almost not having the Torah. It was Efshar, there should not have been Torah in the world. There was a potential loss, and it was averted by this individual who pushed themselves further than they could go, than they thought they could go. And this joy from avoiding the potential loss causes the Bechiah, causes the reality or the seeming understanding that something could have been lacking in the world, a sense of crying out of something that could have gone wrong, but now there's a sense of joy that the person pushed himself to learn Torah. L'mashal, a couple who doesn't have children for some time, and then there's a baby born, they cry. That Bechiah, that crying, that sense of loss gave birth, so to speak, here to a sense of joy. There's crying over the happiness because there was a moment of loss beforehand. And therefore, the Bechiah, the crying of Hashem, comes from Simcha, but based on the potential tsar, the pain that preceded it, perhaps the person would not have learned Torah, but now we see they did. If that's the case, it's obvious why there's Bechiah for someone who should be learning, but they're not. Because that person is certainly withholding Torah that should have been learnt, and now they're not learning it at all. For this reason, the Maharal also notes in the Derech Chaim and Pirkei Avos and Perek Vav regarding crying over a person who could have been a Talmid Chacham and didn't reach their potential. The same thing as well. He compares it to a burning Sefer Torah because of the loss of Torah. So that's approach number two from the Maharal, the crying over the sense that there could have been loss, but now there's not because the person pushed themselves to learn. The Chavetz Chaim in the Torah Sabayis in Perakei says the HaKadosh Baruch Hu is pained about the affliction that the person is taking upon himself, because according to his poverty and the difficult situation he's going through, he shouldn't really be able to learn Torah, and nevertheless the individual is pushing himself past his assumed limit in order to learn Hashem's Torah. A different approach is brought in the Yismach motion, is the Yan Herokeach, and he wonders why the Gemara would want to shut the door on a person who should struggle in his learning. You're telling a person you shouldn't be learning, apparently, Yefshar, why are you crying? It's something wrong with you. You should perhaps not go and learn. Why are we taking the struggle away from the person to learn Torah? So the Yismach Moshe explains that this is Bechiah Shel Tainug, it's the crying of pleasure. Not Bechiah Tzar, not the crying of pain, similar to the Maharal. We do find a Bechiah from happiness in Chazal. For example, the Gemara in Shabbos Kufn and Aleph says that there are six types of crying in the world, and one of them is Bechiah Shel Tzchok, a Bechiah that comes from joy. In addition, the Gemara in Sukkot and Beis says that in the future, at the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch will bring the Yitzhahara and slaughter it in the presence of the Tzadikim and the presence of the Rishayim. And for the Tzadikim, the Yitzhahara will appear to them as a high mountain with great peaks impossible, and the Rishayim, the Yitzhahara, will appear to them as a mere strand of hair. These weep and these weep, says the Gemara. Both people will cry, but the Tzadikim will weep and say, how were we able to overcome such a high mountain? So the Maharsha explains that the Bechi of the Tzadikim is crying out of joy because they were able to overcome such great challenges. The Yifei Torah on Parshas Vayigash explains that this was also the type of crying that Yaakov had when he was reunited with Yosef, and the type of crying referred to in the Gemara and Sukkah as well. So we see, as the Maharal hints to in his approach, and also we have here in Yismach Moshe, that the crying of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in the Gemara here in Chagiga and Daf Hei is not from sadness, but rather a crying out of joy. The Likutei Maharan writes in Os Kufayin Hei as well, that there's a crying over serious things that stem from Simcha. He says, Iker Mailas Abachiyah Hikashi Machma Simcha Vechedva. There is a type of crying in Avodas Hashem that comes from joy. I just want to end with the approach that Rav Shechter often quotes when he discusses this Gemara. And Rav Shechter explains in the real simple meaning of the Gemara that the Gemara is referring to the tragedy of the misplaced person. The same way that someone who is not learning, that should be learning, is a distortion of the right way, so to someone who should not be learning, because they need to have a different purpose in this world, they need to take care of their family, they need to take care of other things, and instead of taking on the responsibilities that need to be dealt with in this world, and what may be their true purpose in the real tafkid, they abandon it, and they go for learning Torah. If it doesn't come easy to a person to learn, then perhaps this is not an excuse that should not involve that one should not involve oneself in learning. However, it doesn't mean that each person does tikkun amidos and makes a cheshra nefesh and concludes that they should be in kolel and will all end up the same way. There isn't only one track in Avodas Hashem. There's a track of Avodas Hashem for a person to be learning full time, and there's a track of Avodas Hashem to be other things in this world, to fulfill other obligations, and to help the world in a different way. And some people take different paths in learning and in working, and all these types of people are valued in the Masorah of Klal Yisrael, and they're correct, and that depends on the individual. And therefore, says Rav Shechter, a person may think that they're doing the right thing, but really people around them or deep inside, they know that perhaps learning and spending time in Limud HaTorah full-time is not what they should be doing, and they can contribute to the world in a different way. And this leads to crying from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Bechia, over the distortion of this misplaced person who's not fulfilling their tafkid in this world.